I remember several years ago, the late news commentator Paul Harvey made the observation. He said that life is like walking through a patch of real thick underbrush, and you're always having to step over something. You're always having to watch for holes, deadfalls on the ground. There's briars, there are thickets. And in all of that, inevitably, there are snakes just waiting to bite you. And he said, you know, we need God's guidance more than anything as we go through life. Now, it was almost 30 years ago when he said that, and it's even more true today, how desperately we need God's guidance for our lives, and especially as we live in these times. Probably all of us have seen the events within really the past year, and if we'd never thought about it before, we've come to a new realization of how desperately we need God's guidance. But how do we find it? How do we experience that guidance? Well, this morning as we come to Daniel chapter 10, we see the requirements, we see the path to experiencing God's guidance. Daniel 10 through 12 actually is one whole unit, but in Daniel 10, we see this tremendous encounter with the Lord that Daniel has and is given, and that actually serves as the basis for the understanding of the tremendous prophecies that God is going to give Daniel in 11 and 12. Such as we saw last week, that before Daniel was given an understanding of those 70 weeks as we refer to them, that's how the scripture refers to them, he had that time of prayer. There's this pattern in these last chapters of Daniel that in order to have the answer, in order to have the guidance, there has to be this meeting with the Lord. And so now as we come to Daniel 10, it actually is one whole thing from Daniel 10 through 12, but before you see the prophecies, you see what is required in order to have God's guidance. And so as we look at Daniel 10 this morning, I want us to not only look at it from an understanding about what Daniel went through, but to see that it is in fact the pattern that we need to be living to have God's guidance and understanding as we live in these times. And so look with me, Daniel chapter 10, as we work our way through this chapter, and as we seek not only what was taking place in Daniel's life, but to learn from him, grow in him, if you will, so that we can experience God's guidance in these times in which we live. Notice what we see taking place with Daniel. Notice the pattern here. If we're going to have God's guidance, the first thing that we need to do is that we need to pursue God's will. There needs to be the goal and the priority of our life that we want God's will to be done. Certainly in our own individual lives, in our family, in our home, in our nation, and in our world. Look what we see, Daniel chapter 1. Look at verses 1 through 4. In the third year, Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. That's what we will see taking place in chapters 11 and 12. A tremendous revelation that will take him from Daniel's immediate time through the intertestamental time, that is that time between the Old and New Testaments, and actually forward future even from where we live. But notice what takes place in verses 2 through 4. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use anointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. I want you to see what's taking place here. What is leading up to all this was this hunger and this desire for God's will. Think about where Daniel is at this point in time in his own life and what is taking place historically at this point, because it is imperative to understanding this burden that Daniel has that leads him to this great time of prayer. Daniel at this point is about 85 to 90 years old. If you've ever wondered why he did not go back, you know, when Cyrus allowed the Jews to return, part of it was probably his official job, probably had to stay there, but also he's 85 to 90 years old. But notice the burden here. For 3 weeks, the idea is there that he probably drank nothing but water and only ate absolute basic, just what you need for absolute basic nourishment here. And so we see this tremendous burden. But what was driving it? Certainly, Daniel, all, you know, as we've seen throughout this book, had a hunger for the Lord, a desire for the Lord, a desire to know what was taking place. But what so drove him at this point? And the key there is when you see in the very first part of verse 1, the third year of Cyrus the king. Understand, remember, Cyrus had allowed the Jews to go back. But do you remember what you read when you read the book of Ezra that gives the historical account of when the Jews returned? Remember, Cyrus allowed them to return under the sovereign will of God, of course. They went back. They began rebuilding the temple. Remember, they laid the foundation. They had a tremendous time of worship. Some who had actually seen the first temple, you remember, cried because, you know, the fact of being able to come back. But do you remember from the book of Ezra what happened next? Opposition from the peoples around them arose, and the temple construction stopped. Actually stopped for several years. And it's at this point that Daniel's at now. He has seen God fulfill His word that we talked about, you know, that they would be in exile for 70 years, then be allowed to return, and allow for the purpose of once more being God's people. The very center of that would be their worship at the temple. That would be there where the sacrifices were made. Their whole purpose was, in fact, to be God's people. Their whole purpose in going back was to rebuild the temple so they could once more serve God and worship Him. But that has now been stopped. It is that has so burdened Daniel at this point. Daniel is wanting God's will to be done, for the temple to be rebuilt, sacrifices to be started again, for God's people, the Jews, to truly be living in obedience unto Him for their own benefit, and to finally be the light unto the nations that God intended for them to be. Daniel's burden was for God's will to be done. Listen, if we're going to have God's understanding in these times, we need to understand that our number one priority needs to be for God's will to be done. You know, we talk about wanting to have God's will in our life and trying to discern God's will as we make decisions and come to these points and times and chapters in our lives. The number one goal of that has got to be a desire for God's will. As we seek the Lord in prayer, whether for ourselves or our family, our church, our nation, our number one desire needs to be for the will of God to be done. You know, we've already sung it this morning, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, if we're going to have that understanding, that guidance that we need in these times, we're going to have to seek God's will. Do you remember David when he became king? He had already been king of Judah. And then when things got sorted out and he was allowed, or actually, if you will, while he was in exile and Saul was killed, do you remember David said, Lord, do I need to go back up to Judah? And the Lord said, yes. The idea was David wasn't going to go back until the Lord told him to. David said, where to? And God told him the city. Then later on, David was king over both, and he would have to face battle. Do you remember he would say, Lord, do I need to go up? And the Lord would say, yes. And David would say, how? What do I need to do? It was a seeking of the Lord's will. We must pursue God's will. You're wondering what has driven Daniel to this burden that he has here. It's because he wants God's will to be done. As you think about your life, and you think about your life in these times, is your number one desire truly, God, do your will? Reveal your will to me. What do you want me to do? As you plead with God for this nation, there's never been a time we need to pray to God more for our nation than now. Is your prayer, oh God, may your will be done. And oh God, fulfill and complete your will. This whole prayer that we will see in this whole interaction through Daniel 10 was driven because Daniel had a deep, burning desire for God's will to be done. That's what drove the whole thing. And again, is that what drives your life? When you think about your life, and we probably all have goals and dreams and objectives and priorities, is number one on all of those God's will. In fact, is it not only the first thing, but is it the thing that determines all else? If we're going to have God's understanding and guidance, it needs to be. We need to pursue God's will. But notice what else. We need to see God's glory. We need to see our God as He truly is. Look at verses 5 through 9. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. And his body was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Understand, it talks about falling into a deep sleep. It's not boredom. It's the fact that he was absolutely struck. We'd almost say knocked out, knocked unconscious, if you will, completely overwhelmed with who he saw. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, well, who was it that he saw that had this kind of an effect on Daniel? I mean, Daniel's had angelic visitations before. Who is this that has so affected Daniel in this way? Well, go with me to the book of the Revelation, and we see someone else who had a very similar vision and a very similar response. Go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, and look at verses 12 through 20. John is worshiping on the Lord's day. He hears a voice behind him. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one, and I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Who is this one that Daniel sees in Daniel 10? It's obviously one and the same. This is in fact our Lord in all of His power and in all of His glory. You think about what Daniel's receiving here. Daniel is seeing the Lord in His glory. And if we need anything, especially in this time, is that we need to see God, and we need to allow Him through His Word to reveal Himself to us. Nothing adds clarity to any situation like seeing the Lord. And again, you think about this man, Daniel. He's in his late 80s or somewhere between his late 80s and early 90s. This man has walked and known the Lord for decades. This man has had tremendous visions. This man has been given tremendous revelations. And yet, even at that stage, things that we would just absolutely admire him for, God peels back the glory, the level, peels it back, if you will, to a whole new level. And at this level, Daniel is absolutely shocked and awe. And if there's anything that we need, it is in fact to see the Lord. Even at this point, even after all this, Daniel is knocked off his feet, if you'll allow me to use that terminology, by a fresh, deeper understanding as to who the living God is. Friend, if we need anything, it is an understanding, a deeper understanding, and a steadily growing understanding as to who the living God is. My friend, understand this is real biblical Christianity. Real Christianity is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And real growing Christianity is a growing understanding of who He is. And our constant prayer needs to be like Moses, "Oh Lord, show me Your glory. Let me see You. Let me know You." And if there's anything that we need in these times, if there's anything that I hope that we have seen in the past almost year now, since COVID started, the unrest started, the campaign, the election, where we stand now as a nation, if there's anything we need, it is to see God in His glory, in His power, and in His might. Now I realize when we begin talking about such things, we say, well, that's all fine and good, but we need, you know, practical messages. We need to have, you know, practical day-to-day things, relevant things. My friend, there is nothing more practical or relevant than knowing God in His glory and seeing Him ever deeper in His glory. You're worried about the nation? You think about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Do you remember upon the death of good King Uzziah, Isaiah knew that for that point it was going to be downhill for the nation. And yet what occurred to him in Isaiah 6? I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You think about the various needs that we face and what may be coming or what we fear may be coming. You think about Abraham in Genesis 15, where yes, God gave him tremendous promises, confirmed the covenant, told him that his descendants would forever hold the land, but also told them that they would be slaves for 400 years. And yet in that time, what was that Abraham saw going through the carcasses of the animals, which how you made a covenant in those days? The smoking oven, the flaming torch, the unmistakable presence of an almighty God. You think with me, we possibly not only burdened about where we are as a nation, possibly fearful. Do you remember Elijah's experience? Not just the one on Mount Carmel, but do you remember how when Jezebel threatened him, how he ran and God took him to the cave, and there he heard from the Lord through the small, still voice. Each of them, in a time of tremendous need, what they found in that time of need was a vision of Almighty God. Believer, our prayer again, like Moses, "Oh God, show me Your glory. Oh God, we need You. God, we need only what You can do. Open our eyes to have a deeper understanding of You." Again, and you think about Daniel. Late 80s, early 90s. I know we have many seasoned citizens in this room. Walked with the Lord for decades. No doubt have seen God work and move in powerful ways. Imagine Daniel. And yet what was it that changed him in this time? Was an even deeper understanding of who God is that even knocked this man off his feet. We need to see God's glory. We need to see Him as who He is. But because we see Him as He is, then we also, number three, need to trust God's enablement. God sends an angel to give Daniel an understanding. Look at verses 10 and 11, then we'll drop down to verses 14 through 19. "Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, 'O Daniel, men of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Drop down to verse 14. Now I've come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? And as for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength, and I said, May my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Think what God does through this angel here. He strengthens Daniel, and through him is going to give Daniel an understanding. God was, in fact, meeting his need. God was enabling him to face the time, giving him the understanding, the strength that he would need. Now, I know we read that, and we think, yeah, well, that's Daniel. I mean, you know, he's one of those super saints, and that's absolutely true. That's probably a good way of referring to him, not knocking that. Absolutely tremendous man, a unique calling, not taking away from that at all, not trying to horn in, if you will, on his territory. But it's very easy for us to think, man, well, you know, Daniel had it because, you know, God, he had it made. God sent this angel to give him the understanding and the strength that he would need. Child of God, and I say this with all due respect to Daniel, understand, believer, that what you have in Jesus Christ is even better. Think with me. Go over to John chapter 14. Our Lord, as he was speaking with his disciples the night before his crucifixion, and look at John chapter 14, and look at verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That word helper is the Greek word parakletos, one called alongside to help, one who will strengthen, one who will encourage, one who will guide. But I also want you to look at another word there. It's the word another. And it's significant that we look at that word, and not trying to bore you, but let me share with you basically the full extent of my understanding of the Greek language, but that word another there is significant. There are actually two words in the Greek language for the word another. There is another of a different kind, and then there's another of the same kind. Another of a different kind. Suppose you take a child to the zoo, okay? And you point out a cage, and in that cage there's a tiger. And you say, well, there's an animal. And then you look across the way, and a cage over here is a kangaroo. And you say, look, honey, there's another animal. It's another of a different kind. But there's a Greek word that means another of the very same kind. You take that same child to the zoo, you point to the cage, there's a tiger, you turn across the way, there's another tiger, and you say, look, honey, there's another tiger, another animal, another of the same kind. You think about that in the context of John 14, 16. Our Lord is leaving. He's walked with his disciples for 3.5 years. But what is he telling them? And he's teaching here about the Holy Spirit. Another of the same kind. Another helper of the same kind. Just as our Lord was with the disciples physically, he was going to be with them and us and every child of God spiritually. You see, when we read the Gospels, we don't just understand what Jesus did back then. We understand how our Lord works for his people now. Another helper. And if there's ever a time we needed a helper, and that's a good translation, it's now. A parakletos. Another of the same kind. We read about Daniel and this angel coming to strengthen him and to give him understanding. And I'm not in any way taking away from the tremendous, awesome experience, not trying to belittle Daniel or his calling by God in any way. But believer, do you not understand that the Holy Spirit, when you accepted Christ, came to live within you? And it is God Himself, through His Spirit within you, who will guide you, who will strengthen you, who will carry you. Another of the same kind. Still in John 14, look at verses 26 and then verse 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, remember, He's that another Helper, another of the same kind. He will teach you all things, the idea there, everything that you need to know, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Why? Because that Helper is with you. That Parakletos is with you. That one who will strengthen, that one who will guide, that one is in fact with you. We need to in fact trust God's enablement. Fourth or fifth time, I'm not belittling Daniel's experience or taking away from it. Absolutely incredible. I'm just trying for us to see what we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think about the tremendous promise that God gives His people. Think of what we see back in Isaiah 41:10. And if there's ever a time we need this verse, it's now. But you think about what it tells us, believer, even in these times in which we live. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. In other words, don't look around and wonder where I am, because I'm there with you. And in fact, the Holy Spirit, He is within us. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Look at the word surely. Not maybe, not possibly, not if I'm in the mood or have a good day. Surely I will help you. If we're going to have God's guidance and His strength, His encouragement in this time, we need to trust the enablement that He has given to us. And that by His Spirit, He's living within us. He'll give us the understanding that we will need. He will strengthen us. He will guide us. He is the Parakletos, one called alongside to help. And just as Jesus was with His disciples, through His Spirit, He is with us now. And we need to trust that enablement. Look what else we see, and this is crucial. Number four, we need to recognize God's war. And by that I mean we need to recognize the very real battle that we find ourselves in. Angel started to come to answer Daniel's prayer and to give him the guidance, but there was a problem, verses 12 and 13, that we had skipped over a moment ago. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to your words." We think, well, what was the big delay then? "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." What we have taking place here, behind all the political and geopolitical and empires rising and falling, was a very real spiritual warfare. We need to understand what is taking place behind the scenes, the energy that drives these things. We need to understand that God has His angels and they are arrayed. Probably the best illustration we can think of is like an army. That is, He's called the Lord of Hosts because host means army. And they're organized just as an army. But Satan too has an army and they're organized accordingly. Drop down to verses 20 and 21. Then he said, "Do you understand why I came to you? Behold, I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there's no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince." There is a very real spiritual war taking place. In fact, this is made very clear for us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, don't misunderstand me. You have men, people who are sinning. They are accountable for their sins. God will hold them accountable. I'm not taking away from that. What I'm saying behind the energy and the moving of all of this is, in fact, a very real spiritual force. There's a very real demonic influence. And it's not only is that becoming more evident, but as we continue to go in the future for however long that is until the church is raptured out, unless we experience a wonderful revival, my friend, you're going to see an increase of it. And in fact, if you really study, whether it's the realm of politics, increasingly corporate America, international corporations as well, certainly the entertainment industry, it is amazing the amount of open demonism and satanic worship that is involved. And it's increasing, and you're going to see it become more open. Now, again, that's not to say that we are to stick our head in the sand and not be involved because, oh, it's all spiritual. No, we're to be very much involved in the political landscape that we find ourselves in. If there's ever a time we need to be engaged, it's now. But understand, the first level of that engagement needs to be an engagement of prayer, because the primary front, if you want to call it that, of this war, and it is a real war, is spiritual. And it's going to have to be fought on our knees. We're going to petition God, just as Daniel was praying for Judah and for Israel, for God's people. We need to understand this war taking place around us. And only when we understand that the very core of it is spiritual will we be able to address it at its very root. You know, it's certainly not spiritual or scriptural, if you will, but there's an ancient Chinese proverb, and I'll translate it into South Georgia English. When you don't fight a dragon by cutting pieces off its tail, you go for the throat. We need to understand the throat of this problem is spiritual, and we need to address it that way. And we need to be in prayer for our nation. Because yes, while there are sinful people involved and they are accountable, not taking away from that whatsoever, but the main driving force is spiritual. And our first response needs to be spiritual. And we need to seek God in prayer, because His armies, His angels are arrayed like an army, Satan's demons are arrayed like an army, and there's a very real battle, what you see taking place. You have these demons in charge of these empires, or behind the scenes pushing the empires again. Third time, the people are accountable for their sins. But there was and is a very real spiritual battle. The primary battle for this nation, and yes, we need to be involved confronting the evils in the entertainment industry, involved politically, use our money wisely in the companies that we buy from and support. I'm encouraging you to do that. I'm not taking away from it. But the primary response needs to be spiritual. The battle will not be won unless it's won in that realm. And the victories in the other realms only come about when we have achieved victory there. And this is not the time to stop praying for our nation. This is the time to start. Because we're praying for the very survival of this nation. Only you want understanding and guidance, as we began talking about at the beginning of this message. Only when we see the world, even the physical world around us, from the spiritual perspective, and understand the real forces that are moving, only then do we really have an understanding of the world we live in. And only then do we really have the guidance that we need to walk through it and to address it. Daniel understood this. It had been revealed, and it's been revealed for us through his experience. We need to be in prayer for our nation. Here is Daniel, not living in the good old days by any stretch of the imagination. Very difficult time in the world, and quite frankly, a very difficult time for God's people. And yet he received understanding and guidance. And his experience, while it's tremendous, is not to be exclusive, it's really to be the pattern. You know, someone once wrote a poem really talking about Daniel's decision not to eat of the king's food when he was first taken into captivity. And the name of that poem was Dare to Be a Daniel. My friend, as we live in this time in our nation's history, we need to dare to be a Daniel. And just as Daniel, we need to seek God in his glory, seeking his will, understanding the real battle that is around us, and trusting his enablement. Only then will we have the discernment, the understanding, and the guidance that we need for this time. Like that poem says and tries to encourage us, are you going to dare to be a Daniel? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, as we're burdened and troubled, almost anxious, O God, by what we see taking place, thank you for reminding us, O God, that you're the living God. Your power has not been throttled back. Your arm has not been shortened. O God, you are God. And, O Lord, we seek you for our nation. Father, we seek you for ourselves, for the understanding, the guidance that we need. Father, may it be our greatest desire for your will to be done in our lives, in our fellowship, our homes, in our nation. Father, just as Daniel did, and Elijah, Isaiah, Abraham, Moses, O God, give us a greater glimpse of who you are. And O God, thank you for your wonderful spirit to teach, to strengthen, to guide. And O Lord, may we trust you and follow you and seek you. And, O God, may our first response be spiritual, because the battle is spiritual. Be with us, O God, and glorify your name through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.